RTVE Audio. Descarga la nueva app y disfruta de los programas de RNE y nuestros podcasts originales.
Radio Exterior de España.
English Language Service.
Greetings from Madrid and welcome to the English language broadcast of Spanish National Radio, where we bring Spain to you through our shortwave broadcasts. Amy Egan speaking alongside my colleague Marilyn Quintana. What are we doing today, Marilyn?
Well, today is the International Day of Science and Technology, a day established by the General Conference of UNESCO to highlight the value of scientific and technological advances. This date also honors Dr. Bernardo José, the first Latin American to be awarded the Nobel Prize in Medicine in 1947 for his discoveries in physiology and medicine. To celebrate this important date, we will be meeting Sarah.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and it's so nice to meet you.
Sarah, which stands for Smart AI Resource Assistant for Health, is one example of science and technology being used to provide a useful service for citizens. This AI system, developed by the World Health Organization, gives out information and resources about health issues and healthy habits. To learn more about her, we spoke with Dr. Ruediger, Director of Health Promotion at the World Health Organization.
It is a source for information, what you could find on the net. So please do let us not confuse this with the needed health workers that you would need to consult if you want to get a diagnosis on any disease. That's not what she is.
And after that, in their Palestine protest, an initiative in the Basque Country has been using a Picasso painting to help spread their message. We spoke with Culturatic, the initiative, about what the town of Guernica in the north of Spain might have in common with the Gaza Strip.
Today we have help from sound technician Rodrigo López and production help from Cristina Dorado.
Before we dive into the rest of the broadcast, the news from Spain.
On Thursday, Spain's lower house of parliament accepted the proposal for a bill that seeks to legalize around 500,000 migrants.
The initiative was proposed by civil rights groups and backed by more than 700,000 signatures. It was approved with the support of all parliamentary groups except for far-right party Vox. The proposal aims to grant residence and work permit to all migrants who arrived to Spain before the 1st of November of 2021.
More than 900 organizations have been working on this initiative for years as they consider it will prevent the breaching of human rights that undocumented migrants have to face and dissolve the barriers to access education, health, or decent work conditions. Edith Espinola, spokeswoman for the platform Regularización Ya.
Que podría pasarme la noche, la madrugada y tres días más contando qué sucede cuando estás en situación administrativa irregular, oprimida, explotada y abusada por tus empleadores.
I could spend the night, the dawn, and three more days talking about what happens when you are in an irregular administrative situation and being oppressed, exploited, and abused by your employers.
The last extraordinary regularization process took place in 2005 during the socialist government of José Luis Rodríguez Zapatero, and it granted residence permit to more than 500,000 people. Parliamentary groups now have 2 months to present their own proposals and amendments before the final law is approved in Congress and in Senate.
Prime Minister Pedro Sánchez is continuing to advocate for the recognition of Palestine as a state.
Porque además también es en el interés geopolítico de Europa y porque la comunidad internacional no podrá ayudar al Estado palestino si no reconoce su existencia.
It's also in the geopolitical interest of Europe, he says, because the international community will not be able to help the Palestinian state if they don't recognize its existence. He also added that the response from Israel to the Hamas attacks have been absolutely disproportionate, and that Israel's actions are destroying decades of humanitarian law and threatening to destabilize the Middle East and, in consequence, the whole world.
está echando por tierra décadas de derecho humanitario y amenaza con desestabilizar a Oriente Medio y, en consecuencia, también a todo el mundo.
On Friday, Mr. Sanchez is expected to begin contacts with other European countries to discuss the recognition of Palestine. He will be meeting with the prime ministers of Norway, Ireland, Portugal, Slovenia, and Belgium.
Israel's main ally, the United States, is also putting pressure on Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. President of the United States, Joe Biden.
What I will tell you is I think what he's doing is a mistake. I don't agree with his approach. I think it's outrageous. So what I'm calling for is for the Israelis to just call for a ceasefire.
Despite international pressure, the Israeli government continued their offensive in the Strip and their plans to begin a land operation in Rafah. They assure it is a vital operation to dismantle Hamas.
Also in politics, the controversial amnesty law in Spain continues to be the cause of institutional confrontations. The People's Party's majority in Senate requested the Congress withdraw the law, which they consider a concealed constitutional reform.
Meanwhile, the Catalonian elections of the 12th of May are approaching and separatist party Junts per Catalunya rebranded as Junts plus Puigdemont per Catalunya. After announcing that exiled separatist leader Carles Puigdemont will be running for the Catalan elections, he recently clarified that he will quit politics if he does not become regional minister.
En absolut en veig de cap de l'oposició.
He does not want to be the leader of the opposition. Mr. Puigdemont, currently prosecuted for terrorism and insurrection, would be able to benefit from the amnesty law if it is eventually approved.
On Wednesday, the Ocean Decade Conference began in Barcelona. This forum, organized by the UN and hosted here in Spain up until this Friday, will check up on the goals set for this decade to help protect the oceans from threats like climate change and pollution and illegal fishing. Among those attending will be political representatives as well as NGOs and members of the private sector.
You're listening to the English Language Service of Spanish National Radio.
Last week, the World Health Organization introduced SARA, that is Smart AI Resource Assistant for Health.
Hi, I'm Sarah and it's so nice to meet you. Human health is my specialty, and I want everyone to live a healthier life. There is so much we can talk about, from tobacco products and alcohol, to healthy living and mental health. Is there something specific you'd like to talk about?
SARA is an AI system which uses generative AI as a base, and as she said, her purpose is to provide information on health topics and healthy habits.
I can provide information on tobacco cessation, alcohol reduction, mental health, healthy eating, physical activity, road safety, drowning risks and prevention, and the right to health.
To test her knowledge, we told her we had a mild fever, and this is what she answered.
A mild fever could be a sign of infection or illness. I suggest monitoring your temperature and staying hydrated. If the fever persists, it would be best to consult with a healthcare professional for further guidance. Here is a helpful resource from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention on how to monitor your fever at home. Remember, if your fever continues or you develop other symptoms, it's important to seek medical attention.
SARA is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, via video or text, and in 8 languages.
Hola, soy SARA y estoy encantada de conocerte.
مرحبا, أنا سارة ويسعدني أن ألتقي بكم.
Bonjour, je m'appelle Sarah et je suis ravie de vous rencontrer.
Hi, 我是 Sarah.
Привет, я Sarah.
Hola, sou Sara.
Hi, 我是 Sara.
To tell us more about SARA, we are joined by Dr. Rudiger Krech, Director of Health Promotion at the World Health Organization. Mr. Krech, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Well, as we just heard, Sarah was able to provide a general overview of her purpose and her objectives. But tell us, why did the WHO decide to develop an AI system to provide health advice?
Yeah, we had a previous version of Sarah, which we called Florence. And Florence, we launched in 2020, and the reason for that was basically to inform people about COVID-19 and to use her as a mythbuster around COVID, because, as you know, there has been and is a lot of misinformation and disinformation about COVID. Now, we saw that there was a huge interest by people to use Florence, to use that tool. So then, of course, we asked about what it would mean to actually explore an AI tool for risk factors of non-communicable diseases such as cancers, cardiovascular diseases, and so on. And the response was, yes, we need that, because it offers evidence-based, sound information based on WHO data and reliable sources.
Yeah, because a lot of people go to Google and they look for their symptoms, and then you don't really know what you're going to come up with, right?
Indeed. And so actually, this is a limited source of evidence. So this is not the entire internet, because you find a lot of unreliable data also on risk factors to cancers on the internet. So it is very important for us to have limited the data source that this AI tool uses to evidence-trusted information.
So what sort of questions can she answer?
Well, she actually can answer anything about, you know, risk factors. You know, what should you eat? What should you drink? How should you behave? What are the risks that you take when, for instance, drinking alcohol? What are the huge risks that you take if you smoke, but also how can you quit smoking and get help in your community to quit smoking, for instance. So there's many, many things that you can ask her around those risk factors.
So, well, as we heard in the introduction, we asked Sarah about a mild fever, and she gave us a very straight to the point answer and provided also helpful resources for us. Would she be able to provide a diagnosis?
No, diagnosis is not what this tool is about. It's about an information. It's also not giving, you know, any. It's not a therapeutic tool or anything like this. It is a source for information, what you could find on the net. So please do let us not confuse this with the needed health workers that you would need to consult if you want to get a diagnosis on any disease. That's not what she is. This is not replacing health workers, and definitely not doctors. This is if you want to receive trusted information, then you can go there for, at the moment, as I said, a limited number of risk factors that you have. But this is the way forward. It's about information. It's not about therapy. It's not about diagnosis.
Well, Sarah is definitely a clear example of innovation being used as a tool to promote health. Are you looking into any other ways in which AI can improve health services?
Yeah. So, I mean, first of all, artificial intelligence is evolving in a very speedy manner. What was innovative in 2020 is outdated today. So artificial intelligence as such is a rapidly evolving field, and we can use it for public health. Of course, we need to constantly provide feedback on also this tool now that we have And we need to look at, oversight mechanisms, for instance, or transparency, but also accountability and user feedback. So with that, what we receive from the users, we will actually evolve and develop SARA further, and we hope that we can expand scope to other areas of public health as well in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as you said, the development of SARA, I think that it also raises some ethical questions maybe related to cybersecurity or privacy. How did you address these issues when developing SARA?
Yeah, so first of all, there were challenges that we had to overcome in building her and from the previous model, as I said, we had on Florence. That was the tool that we used for the COVID information. So especially implementing robust data privacy and security measures was a big challenge for us, but we managed to actually overcome that and to also ensuring the integrity of the data. So that is... you need to enhance the accuracy of data. So you talked about the example of the fever that you've asked her. And the way that she now responds in a very accurate and concise manner is actually the result of ensuring this integrity of the data so that we're only using evidence-based and trusted sources.
Mm-hmm. So what are the next steps for SARA? Are you planning on including more languages or more information?
Yeah. So first of all, we're, of course, very happy of this partnership that we have with Soul Machines and their technology, which is what they call biological artificial intelligence, where they use a different way of learning of this artificial intelligence. So you would have a mathematical approach, which is usual artificial intelligence, or, and that is what we're working with through Soul Machines, is recognizing the importance of the human body in intelligence. And so SARA actually learns as human beings would learn, and that makes actually a huge difference in, again, the data accuracy. So this cognitive modeling approach to train the data is as the cognitive science in humans, and so that is a different technology. Now, that is, therefore, you can see that there's, she reacts slightly emotional on things, and she also recognizes if you've asked her the same question twice already. Mm-hmm. So these are things that you wouldn't have with the usual mathematic algorithms and models that are with artificial intelligence, and we believe we wanted to test it. It will never replace a human being. I mean, that's for sure, and we need to be very careful about this as well. But it is a possibility of receiving, 24/7 information, accurate information on health topics. And that is something that is in high demand. As we know, on the internet, you find so much of disinformation, of misinformation, of really disruptive things. So that we want to actually look into another way how you can actually receive trusted information. And this is a starting point. Let's be clear about this as well. SARA, in 5 years' time, she will evolve and then be much better than today.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think we can finish with that. Dr. Rüdiger Kreck, Director of Health Promotion at the World Health Organization, thank you so much for joining us in the English Language Broadcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Language Service of Spanish National Radio. And we'd like to remind listeners that you can get in touch with us via email at the address english@rtve.es. And you can also send us WhatsApp voice notes to the number 34680-688-698. And we especially enjoy receiving letters and postcards, which you can send to RNE, Casa de la Radio, Avenida Radio y Televisión 4, postal code 28223, Madrid, Spain.
A mother, face contorted with grief, weeping, holding her dead infant child in her arms. An image that, since the war in Gaza began, we have seen over and over again. An image that is not unique to this time in history, to this conflict. Sadly, it's not the first time civilian families have been destroyed by war, and it won't be the last. When, in 1937, Pablo Picasso painted Guernica, the giant 11-foot-tall, 27-foot-wide masterpiece, he was painting from the stories he had heard of the Basque town in the north of Spain. The oil painting features contorted figures in Picasso's unique style: a distressed horse, a screaming woman, a dead baby, a dismembered soldier among flames, and depicts the bombing of a Spanish civilian town by Nazi Germany and fascist Italy during the Spanish Civil War. At the time, Picasso was commissioned to create this mural by the Republican Party to draw attention to the war in Spain. Now, almost 100 years later, organizers in Spain are using this very painting to protest the happenings in Gaza. Kulturatik is an initiative made up of artists and creators from the Basque Country in the north of Spain. They have joined forces with the organization Guernica Palestina for different protests held in and around Guernica, the town that is illustrated in Picasso's masterpiece of the same name. Igor Ochoa is of the initiative.
Unfortunately, we have this sad legitimacy of being the first place in where the high rate and the attacks and bombing in the civilian population undiscriminated way happened 87 years ago in Guernica. Was the first time with the Nazis airplanes supporting the Spanish fascists bombed the village of Guernica in a market day when they knew that there was going to be a lot of people. So we thought that, from this situation and this what that we felt and we lived, we could say something to the world, asking for humanity about what is happening now in Gaza.
The town of Guernica was made a target in 1937 because it was being used as a communication center by the Republicans during the Spanish Civil War. Some historians view the attack as a war crime, but under the existing international laws of the time, the town of Guernica was a legitimate military target. The urban centre of the town was completely destroyed, and according to the report made by the National Service for Devastated Regions, a dictatorship organisation in charge of evaluating the damage caused by the war, 85% of Guernica's buildings, a total of 271, were completely destroyed. Although the population records disappeared, it is estimated that approximately a third of the 5,000 inhabitants of the village died in the attack. A report made by the Basque regional government stated that the air raids left a total of 1,654 dead and 889 wounded. Culturatic has participated in two different protests using imagery from Picasso's famous painting, which depicted the horrors that took place in Guernica in 1937, as well as playing siren sounds that warned the townspeople of the bombing all those years ago.
Yeah, the first one was we thought that so was some symbolic place like Guernica, as I said before, the first indiscriminate bombing to population, civilian population. We thought that we could use this symbol of the painting of Picasso, Guernica, and there is especially one in that painting of Guernica. There is a very expressive drawing, which is the woman, the mother, with her baby on her hands, murdered. And we thought that this was so expressive of what is happening now in Gaza, what was happening before, this months ago, and what still is happening. No? So that is why we use this in Guernica first. We did with 3,000 people, we made a human mosaic, with a Palestine flag, and we use this Guernica drawing, picture drawing. And then a couple of weeks ago, what we did in San Sebastian was 5,000 people lying on the floor, and this was symbolic too of all the people dying in Gaza, murdered in Gaza, and we did this too again with using to the painting of Picasso too, because we think that it's a way to tell to the world that that the Basque country and the ones that we suffered this first bombing, civilian bombing, we want to say stop this genocide. And we wanted to show our solidarity with the Palestinian people in this moment.
Guernica is one of Picasso's most famous works and is regarded as one of the most powerful anti-war paintings in history. It was first exhibited at the 1939 Paris International Exposition and was consequently toured around the world in order to raise funds for Spanish war relief.
Well, we think that it's a very emotional painting and that it tells us about the needing of humanity at this moment. No? We don't want to go just to this mental or talking or no. We want to go to the hearts of the people to understand that this can't happen in this century. We are living, watching in life this genocide, these kids dying, this woman, this civilian dying, and murdered, and no one does anything. Well, at least the ones that can do something, they don't do, and they don't do enough. It's so clear. So we wanted to arrive to the heart of the people, of these normal people too, that we are part of all this too, and we can, all of us, we can push the government, our government, to take actions and initiatives to stop this, because this can be stopped, but it's just that some governments in the world, they don't want to do it, some states, some powerful states. We have to do things to tell the government that they have to change their policies, because if not, it's not only what is happening in Gaza, it's what will happen in the future. If we let this occupation, with this terrorist state as Israel, this racist state, if we let them to do what they are doing, tomorrow will be in another place and we'll be not able to say nothing, because we let once happened. So this opens a very, 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 very dangerous situation to the world.
This last sentiment of Igor Ochoa of the Culturatic Initiative was echoed in a way by Spain's Prime Minister this week, when he said that Israel's response to the Hamas attack was disproportionate and threatened world safety.
La respuesta absolutamente desproporcionada del gobierno israelí al ataque terrorista de Hamas.
So far, 33,000 Palestinian civilians have been killed by Israel since the October 6th attack, and over 75,000 have been injured. You You've been listening to the English language broadcast of Spanish National Radio with Amy Egan and Marilyn Quintana. Today, we've had help from sound technician Rodrigo López and production help from Cristina Dorado.
We thank you for listening and hope you tune in for future broadcasts.